You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, continuing to look at Game 1 tonight of the Eastern Conference Finals, Miami hosting Boston. Theo Dorsey joining us on a progressive guest line, ESPN West Palm Beach, to talk about the Miami Heat. I am guilty of this. We haven't talked a lot about Miami during this postseason, except being the foil to our conversation about Philadelphia. Let's talk to Theo Dorsey about the Miami Heat. How are you, Theo?
I'm doing well. And you know what? You say you're guilty of it. I don't even take offense to everybody overlooking the Miami Heat this postseason because it's not the storylines. It's not all the razzle-dazzle, but we just keep on winning.
That's right. I was leading off with that, with my question to you. There is a national conversation now about how underreported the Miami Heat have been, how underappreciated the Miami Heat have been. Is that the feeling in Miami and that in South Florida, that the nation has not been paying attention to this team?
It definitively is, and honestly, I'm kind of jaded on that response because it seems like every time we have the Miami Heat conversation, now that's the headliner. It reminds me of, so I also do local sports reporting and anchoring, and every time I step into a different high school gym to cover a basketball game or volleyball or maybe go out to a baseball game, there's a parent that stumbles up next to me and bumps me, "Hey, Theo, why don't you ever come out and cover us? Why don't you ever come out and show us some love?" I'm like, "Look, I'm here right now." And you know what, Tony? You did the first step. You're here right now covering the Miami Heat, so I'm not going to knock you for it.
All right, let's talk about the way this team has been put together. No Kyle Lowry, but still Jimmy Butler. That being said, how much of this team looked like the team in 2020? I know some players have been gone, but is the overall core still there from the 2020 Finals team?
It's definitely there. I think the key changes from that team, of course, we don't have Dragic, but you have a veteran point guard who actually has a championship under his belt in Kyle Lowry, who we hope to have back at some point in these conference finals. Instead of Duncan Robinson, who was a target on defense, was a bit of a turnstile, you have a guy like Max Strus, who is, a lot of people look at him and think he's just a spot-up shooter. That's a guy that not only locks in on the defensive end, he gets rebounds, he had two double-doubles in the last series, and he has almost that same level of confidence in his jump shot coming off the two-man game with Bam Adebayo that Duncan Robinson had, and that's going to be key in a series with the Celtics because they have so many guys that can dribble, penetrate, and create their own shots. You can't have liabilities on the floor that can get hunted out. So I think those are the key differences in this team, but it's the same core. You got Jimmy, you got Bam, you got Tyler Hero. You're going to need a 100% effort from all three of them in this series.
There's going to be a lot of emphasis on how these two teams play incredible defense, and Spoelstra called it a throwback series. I agree. I think it's going to be very defensive-oriented. Give us an idea, Theo, if you can, the best way to describe the way Miami does play defense.
Well, it's funny because, you know, Jimmy talked about yesterday that he's just looking forward to a series where most of the games are in the 90s, and the Miami Heat, they're really good at just cutting the head off the snake. I mean, you see what happened with Trae Young. He had the worst performance maybe of all time of a player of that caliber. And it's just because they frustrated him. They crowded him every time he got past half court. And really when he got the ball off the inbound, it was consistent hounding from guys like Gabe Vincent, guys like Victor Oladipo. And they're not going to allow the best player to score. Everybody keeps talking about who's the best guy in the playoffs right now. Everybody's talking about the ascension of Jason Tatum. Tatum's not going to be out there dropping 46 against this Miami Heat defense. Eric Spoelstra, Jimmy Butler, P.J. Tucker, Bam Adebayo, guys like that aren't going to allow it. Even if you look at the regular season matchups, which you can always throw out the window, Tatum averaged under 20 against this Heat defense. It's a stout defense, and the worst part about it is we're in the playoffs now, so they're letting Kyle Lowry, P.J. Tucker, you know, Oladipo, everybody, Gabe Vincent, they're letting us get away with a little more hand-checking and whatnot. So it is kind of throwback.
You know, we were talking about the Heat, you know, not being as appreciated here this season. I think you can make the case that Eric Spoelstra hasn't been appreciated for a very, very long time. What makes him the kind of coach that he is? He was an easy target for the anybody can coach the big three. I think the way he managed those egos back in the day was really unique. And the way now he continues to have this team playing the way it does is also something that I think has been getting overlooked.
I mean, come on, Tony. This is a guy that coached LeBron James in his first coaching job.
Right.
And didn't get bounced out of the league. Like, I mean, who else can say that? Guys like David Blatt.
Right.
LeBron has as much as he's a great player and he's a blessing to be able to coach in his 4 years in Miami, his college run or whatever you want to call it, you know, forever grateful, forever thankful. He is a hard guy to coach and a hard guy to manage in a locker room because he has just so much power. Eric Spoelstra managed that, and I think a big part of why he's overlooked is obviously he kind of had that spoon-fed team. But, you know, Steve Nash just had a spoon-fed team, and look where that ended up. Spoelstra handled it well, got two championships out of it. And post the LeBron era, I mean, look at what's happening right now. We're back in the conference finals, one series away from a finals appearance again.
Theo, this I talked to earlier about with our Celtics guy up in Boston. I'll ask you kind of the same question. I asked him a couple of Miami players that should worry the Celtics. I'll flip it on you. Outside of Jason Tatum, even Jaylen Brown, who is playing particularly well enough in this series that Miami may have a tough time guarding or is worrisome for the Heat?
That's a great question. I think the guy that is going to be a guy to kind of look out for is possibly Robert Williams.
Just
his ability, because I think it's going to be is Bam Adebayo going to be able to be aggressive this series? Is he going to be able to dominate the boards? I think Horford at this point in the playoffs, I'm not as worried about him. He just went through a 7-game intensive series trying to guard Giannis Antetokounmpo. But I'm a little concerned about Robert Williams and the energy he could bring if he does come back and look healthy, because Grant Williams, Al Horford, Robert Williams, that front line have the ability to stifle Bam a bit. And if Bam isn't able to be aggressive around the rim and get some of those floaters or even some of that mid-range game going, it can be worrisome for the Heat offense. I mean, you've seen it. The reason why people don't believe in this team is there's been a lot of spurts where the offense has just looked stagnated. And I'm more so worried about the Celtics defensively than offensively. Jaylen Brown can get a shot. Jason Tatum is a bucket. But outside of that, there's not a lot of guys that really scare you getting their own.
Let me ask you a big picture question here about Jimmy Butler, because I like his quote saying he really likes him in Miami. He is. We know he's had some issues in other locations. He seems to be enjoying Miami. I think there was a little bit of a news spat that was not that long ago. But other than that, how has he found his home in Miami? Who has helped him with that? How has he changed to make that happen? Like a big picture here on just his time with the Heat.
Well, that's just it. He didn't have to change. And I think that's been the key to Jimmy Butler fitting in. He credits a lot of that to Pat Riley, the godfather. He calls him Coach Pat still. And the trickle-down effect of what the Heat culture is it's not about bringing guys in and trying to make them adapt to Heat culture. It's more so about spotting out who will fit into Heat culture, bringing them in and letting them be themselves. So Jimmy Butler hasn't changed at all. He's still that feisty dog. He's still a guy that's going to get up in your face, be ultra-competitive in every practice, and especially in every game. But now he's in a place that embraces that. You think about even Bam Adebayo. You think about his pre-draft workout and the stories that came out after that where he was, you know, yelling, you know, F you and this, that, and the third to Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra and Mickey Arison. Like, the kind of guys they like to have in there are guys that are not afraid to be uncomfortable with each other. And I think that's why he found his home. You said he changed. I don't think he's changed at all. And you saw that in the bench spat he had with Spo and UD.
Yeah, I will go there. Yeah, maybe I misread that. What was that? And what was that? Is this just a simple spout that gets covered up, or did that last a couple of days?
I don't think it did. I think it was just tensions rising. I mean, this is an ultra competitive group. It was a losing streak. They were losing games they shouldn't have been losing at that time, and tensions boiled. But for Miami, or at least the Heat, I can't say it because it's not like I'm in that locker room with those guys. That was nothing. It just so happened to happen publicly. It's like when I was out in the grocery store with my mom and I did something wrong and she slapped my hand and people around might have freaked out. But it's like, look, this is just par for the course, baby. You just happen to see it.
Tyler Hero, we saw him emerge really well in the bubble 2 years ago. What has been his role on this team? I mean, he averaged 20 points per game, but what does he do and what does he contribute?
He's that young, ultra-confident guy that every team kind of needs, the guy that doesn't know he's almost outplaying his own good. I mean, he did that in the bubble. And in this team, in this run, the key to Tyler Hero is how good can he be on the road. At home, he's been great. On the road, he's been disappearing a lot. And the Miami Heat, if anything, that this roster needs is somebody that can get a bucket in the half court on the road. And if Tyler Hero can prove to do that in at least one game against the Celtics and they're able to steal one at the Garden, then the Heat will be in good position, because this is going to be like, it's not going to be like that Suns, the Suns, Mavs series where it's blowouts at home for each team and whatnot. Each of these games are probably going to be very contentious, and you're going to need role players like Tyler Hero. He's still really a role player to be able to step up on the road.
All right. I said earlier, I have another big picture question for you. This team has won champion. They won a championship with Dwayne Wade and Shaquille O'Neal. They won two titles with LeBron and company. Those championship teams, there was almost like, we've got this level of talent here. And especially with the big three, when they did that whole not four, not five, not six, there was a reasonable expectation that they might have been right. I'm sorry, but there was a reasonable expectation that they might actually do that. They were well that put together. How is this team and this success treated by the fans? Is it more appreciative? Is it a better understanding of how they're putting this together? Like, how is this team being looked at compared to the two times this team has hoisted it and won it all?
Well, it kind of, I don't want to say it feels like found money, but as a Miami Heat fan and a guy that now covers the team out here, there was a drought. There was a bit of a lull where it was guys like Hassan Whiteside and guys like Deion Waiters and guys like James Johnson that we were leaning on and still literally staying afloat. But it just felt like the Heat were in this, you know, this state of mediocrity for a few years. And then here comes Jimmy Butler. And remember, when we make that acquisition, people are laughing at it. People are saying Jimmy left the Sixers to go to a team that's going to be residually an 8 seed or whatever. And he immediately turned the Heat into a championship contender. So I don't want to say it's found money, because when you're a fan of the Miami Heat or even the person that covers it, you know that guys like Pat Riley are going to find a way to keep this team competitive. But it does feel a lot more earned, because in the Big Three era, it was kind of, we know what it was. We had the best team on the planet, and every loss was agonizing. On this side of it, it feels more like you can celebrate the win, because you don't, it's not promised, you know?
Right. It is wild. I mean, when you look at the Eastern Conference and you talk about the teams that are in it, right? The Celtics played great in the second half. The Milwaukee Bucks were the defending champions. When James Harden arrived in Philadelphia, you team them up with Joel Embiid. These are two big name stars. Brooklyn has got its stars, right? And then Atlanta with Trae Young making a Eastern Conference Finals run. Miami's on top of all of them all year long, and nobody is saying a thing about them.
That's the thing, though, because there's nothing to talk about.
Probably
there's
right.
Nothing
yeah.
to talk about.
I joke with
my fiance all the time. Like, she loves the housewife shows and the reality shows. The NBA is a reality show in itself. I mean, you see that with Patrick Beverley, of all people, running the ESPN airwaves for the past couple of days.
Right.
Like, it's all about the drama. It's all about the storyline. And with this Miami Heat team, it's really just all about the wins. We haven't had much drama until that one bench set, and that's the reason why we don't get the coverage. But you know what? At the end of the day, it won't matter if we, hopefully. I don't know. I'm not saying we're the favorites to do so, but we have a really good shot at walking away with the Larry O.B.
Theo, this has been awesome. I really hope you join us again down the road as the Miami Heat may be continuing this journey. Thank you so much, my friend.
Will do, man. Hey, Heat in six.
You got it. Theo Dorsey, ESPN West Palm Beach, joining us to talk Miami Heat for the first time in this postseason. We've actually had a chance to break down the Heat. We'll come back, wrap up this hour. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.